Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this afternoon is taken from the 8th chapter of Romans. I'm not sure if it's harder in this time and place to be a Christian than it is to not be a Christian. I'm not sure if it's harder, but it's always more complicated to be a Christian than not. The Christian life is complicated because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. The Holy Spirit, placed into you at baptism, wants to do what God wants you to do, but that pesky, sinful flesh is still there, rebelling against God and His commands. And the apostle has just finished that very vivid description of that very thing. He has said, I do not understand what I am doing. For what I want to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. The good that I want to do, I do not do. But the evil I don't want to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are with Christ Jesus. Those who are with Christ Jesus. So I would ask the translators who make that say that we are in Christ Jesus, what does that mean to say that we are in Christ Jesus, located inside of Him? What does that look like exactly if you say that we are in Christ Jesus? In what sense are we located inside of Jesus? It is what we call a locative preposition. It's about location. And there are different forms of lazy Bible translator. And who just translated the N, the Greek word N, which has several possibilities, just translated it into English in, I-N. But that's not always what it means, like here. But what does that mean for the Christian to be located in Christ Jesus? You know, to get into seminary in the Missouri City, you have to know Greek. Have to know Greek because the entire New Testament is written in the Greek language. One time a guy asked, why don't we teach Chinese or Spanish at the seminary? That's what we should be doing. Well, because the Bible's not written in Spanish or Chinese. It's written in Greek, so we learn Greek. And Dr. Bells was my teacher. I have his book. And in his book on page 31, there's a box. He drew a box. Prepositions followed by a noun in the accusative case indicate motion into. Motion into. That's not what's here. Motion out of is in the genitive case. And in the dative case, like is here, the preposition means he has two X's. Two things right next to each other. That's what's going on here. This noun is in the dative case, and Paul is saying that your location is not in Jesus, but beside Jesus, or with Jesus. What does that look like? That's a little bit easier to picture, isn't it? It looks like the disciples, the Christians at the time of Jesus, who were with Jesus, often right next to Him. The apostles who lived with him kind of 24/7 for 3 years, Clopas and the other guy on the road to Emmaus, Easter Sunday after morning, probably afternoon, walking with Jesus, they were with Jesus. That's what that looks like. We're compelled to buy a thick book, Bauer Arndt Gingrich. We call it Bag. It has a long title. It's on the shelf with Dr. Vels' book, and it says that the preposition N with the dative, like here with Jesus, denotes nearness, used to denote the presence of a person, to denote a rather close relationship, to denote a stage of being, especially in Paul or John, to designate a close personal relationship. And that's what Paul is indicating here with Jesus. All of which things are understood of Christians. And because we are with Christ, specifically in the sacrament of the altar, also when his words proclaim, especially the word of absolution, we're with him. I used to go to the Y over on Utica Ridge a couple times a week. Now I go to Planet Fitness. They know me there. They know me. And if I take a guest with me, what am I going to say as I scan my card to get into Planet Fitness with my guest? He's with me. I say she's with me, but my wife doesn't go. He's with me. And that means he's with me. That means you know that I can bring a guest and my guest gets in. And Paul says there is no longer any condemnation, no impediment to your entry, not the gym, but the pearly gates, because you are with him. He's with me. She's with me. But before those pearly gates, while you are still here, when Jesus says in John 14 that he is the way, by that he means what we would call the road, he's the road who takes us to heaven, and he walks with us, beside us, on that road that's going to heaven. We've sung about that in LSB hymn number 424, O Christ, you walk the road. Our wandering feet must go. You faced with us temptation's power and fought our ancient foe. Then he talks about the law of the spirit of life with Christ Jesus as a good thing. And he juxtaposes that with the law of sin and death. That's a bad thing. And he says that the first life with Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death, because God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, meaning his flesh, human flesh. And human flesh, you know, is fundamentally a good thing, part of God's creation. We call it the essence of God's creation. He created humans, and that's a good thing. Since the fall into sin and the accident, not part of creation, of original sin, human flesh is now by definition sinful. Another accident is the Latin philosophical term of the fall. The body in its essence is a good thing created by God, but since the fall, flesh is sinful. And the fact that Jesus had no sin leads theologians, Augustine most prominently, to conclude that original sin must pass to the next generation through the Father. And of course, the Father of Jesus was God. And Jesus has no sin, original, so no actual sin to do while he's living. God the Father, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He's talking about the cross, where the Father considered the Son to be the sinner. Earlier, chapter 1, Paul had talked about the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all godliness and wickedness. And the wrath he's talking about there is the wrath of the Father directed against, that's right, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians. And that's kind of the only way it's ever going to work, isn't it? Heaven as a free gift because of Christ. The law, Paul points out, is utterly powerless That's dynamite with the negator, not dynamite. Man is utterly unable, powerless to save himself from hell because of his utter inability to avoid sin. God condemns sin with the flesh, his own incarnate, sinless body made of flesh, sacrificed for the sins of the world, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. In us. And what does that look like? Some parents think that their children can do no wrong. It's a thing. It's a thing. It looks like when God looks at you, and God knows all, and God sees all, and God does not see that sin in us, but only the righteous requirement of the law fulfilled by Jesus and counted to you by faith in him. You know, contrary to commonly thought ideas, the Lutherans are not against good works. We are in favor of good works, and they flow naturally from people within whom dwell the Holy Spirit. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. The non-Christian, I have noticed, spends a lot of time thinking about how to please the flesh. Don't be too hard on them. It's all they've got. Do whatever the flesh desires. The word flesh pot, that's a thing, defined as a district or establishment offering erotic pleasures or entertainment, sexual pleasure or sexual gratification. A lot of Americans spend a lot of time on those things. Most Christians spend a lot more time. Some of them spend way too much time trying to understand how to be a better Christian. That's a thing. More time trying to figure out how they can be a better Christian than looking for a gratuitous sex and the like. The one mindset, Paul says, the flesh brings death, eternal death. The other mindset, he says, the Spirit brings life and peace. Yeah, people who don't know Jesus spend a lot of time, when not satisfying the desires of the flesh, looking for something. Not sure what it is. Something's missing. Kind of, is this all there is? Heard somebody use the term the boredom of affluence. A lot of Americans have the boredom of affluence. We're a very affluent country, very affluent people, but we're bored with it. Is this all there is? No peace in that. Especially if we understand peace, shalom, the Jewish Christian way. They don't think everything is right in God's world. Certainly it's not good in theirs. And this God of which you speak, they blame him, even though they don't believe in him, right? Is it any wonder that the natural man is, Paul says, hostile to God, of whom he has natural knowledge, and also natural knowledge of right and wrong, sin, death, and hell? The hostility of the natural man is that at the end of the day, he knows about God. He knows that he does not measure up, and he knows that at the end of the day, he's going to end up in hell, and he blames God, who he doesn't believe in, for his damnation. They know what Paul declares, those who are with, is the word there. Those who are with the flesh cannot please God. That same locative preposition we ran into earlier where it says that we are with Christ, here the same language places the non-Christian with the flesh. Everything about our walking with Christ, the non-Christian walks with the flesh. The flesh is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet for the non-Christian. That's for the non-Christian. But he's not talking about you. He says, but you are not with the flesh. You are with the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And it does. And it does. As is the case with the Son, you are not located in the Spirit. What would that look like for you to be located in the Spirit? You are with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit was placed in you. He says, dwells in you, not you in him, at baptism, and has been nurtured by word and sacrament ever since. And that idea that the Holy Spirit dwells in the Christian is very fundamental to Christian theology. The idea that you would dwell in the Holy Spirit, what's that look like? Christ being with us. The Holy Spirit being with us and dwelling in us. He says your spirits are alive because of righteousness. That means because of the righteousness of Jesus, which shines on us and often reflects off of us. You are light. That being the case, the same Spirit from the Father. The one that raised the Son from the dead, Paul says, will give life also to your mortal bodies through his Holy Spirit that dwells in you. And that's where this thing ends, with these mortal, dying bodies being brought back to life on the last day. And that's where this thing ends, in heaven, holding there until the creation of new heavens and new earth. That's where this thing ends, with the elimination of that unholy Trinity, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. That's where this thing ends. Until then, the flesh is always there, doing battle with the Spirit that's within us. And it's complicated. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.